And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 11 this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes. And I want to begin reading to you, and then I want to jump over into the book of Matthew. And I've got a word for you this morning. I've got a thought this morning I want to share with you. I want to get in your spirit here today. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It is up on the scripture, the screen as well this morning. The Bible says that I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Now, I want to explain that in just a moment, but if you go with me to the Gospel of Matthew as well today, chapter 10, verse 22, chapter 10, verse 22 of the Gospel of Matthew, the scripture reads, and it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end," the scripture says, "shall be saved." He that endureth until the end shall be saved. You know, in the diary of Christopher Columbus, called The First Voyage to America, it is an interesting account of the journey of the— matter of fact, I thought about doing this to school teachers this morning, if they can tell me the ships that was sailed by Christopher Columbus. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to leave that alone. It's an inside joke, but we had to do a little research ourselves. And but the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, and the ships that the journey was taken on from Spain to what Christopher Columbus thought to be the Indies. And the first entry in his journal that was made on the day of his departure was on a Friday of August the 3rd of 1492. And he wrote every day on his diary of what took place and what they were encountering along the journey. So here's what he says on a Friday of August the 3rd of 1492. It says, "We departed Friday the 3rd of August from the bar of Saltes at the 8th hour. We went south with a strong sea breeze, 60 miles, which is 15 leagues, until sunset. Afterwards, to the southwest and south by west, which was the route for the Canaries. Saturday, August the 4th, they went southwest by south. On Sunday, August the 5th, he wrote in his journal and said, they went on their way and between day and night made more than 40 leagues. On Monday, August the 6th, the rudder of the Penina broke, and the men began to quarrel and argue. Finally, they made between the day and night 29 leagues. On Tuesday, August the 7th, the rudder again jumped its fastening, but this day we traveled 25 leagues. On Wednesday, August the 8th, we would have liked to have went to the Grand Canary to leave the badly damaged Penina, because she leaked so badly and had a damaged rudder, but we were not able to reach it on that day. But on Thursday, August the 9th, we reached the Grand Canary and we fixed the ship. In spite of the adverse circumstances and repeated problems," here's what he wrote. He says, "In spite of the adverse circumstances and the repeated problems," he wrote these words, "they sailed on." On September the 7th, the diary states, "Of all Friday and Saturday until the third hour of the night, we were in very light winds, so therefore not much was happening. On Saturday, September the 8th, at the third hour of the night on Saturday, it commenced to blow from the northeast, and he took his course and his route to the west. We took on much water over the boat, which hindered our way, and made the day and night only 9 leagues. But on this day," here's what he wrote, "we sailed on. On Thursday, September the 13th, that day and night, going on their course, which was west, they made 33 leagues. The currents were against me. But on this day, here's what Christopher Columbus wrote. We sailed on. On Saturday, September the 15th, they sailed that whole day and the night, 27 leagues and a few more on their route west. And on that night, at the beginning of it, they saw a marvelous branch of fire fall from the sky into the sea, distant from 4 or 5 leagues. On Monday, September the 17th, he sailed on his route of west and made day and night somewhat more than 50 leagues. The current was helping him. What a great day, he said. On Friday, September the 21st, that day was mostly calm and later some wind. They made between day and night no more than 13 leagues. Some of it on course, some of it was not. But on this day, he said, we sailed on. On Wednesday, September the 26th, they thought that they saw land and they spent an entire day sailing to what they thought looked like land, only to discover it was just the sky. But he said he did not let it stop us. On that day, he wrote, we sailed on. So the thing that I want you to see about this word and about this diary this morning is simply this. The thing that intrigues me the most about the diary of Christopher Columbus is this. No matter what the day brought, at the end of each day, practically each entry was this. On this day, we sailed on. And I began to read and I thought, with the month that it is now, that in 1492, he was out in 1492 doing his own thing. Now, my wife informed me today. She said, you know that they're now saying that Christopher Columbus did not discover. I said, he did when I was a kid. That's just liberals. I'm teasing. I'm not getting into that. That's just what they think. Whatever. We'll leave that alone. But in fact, there were many days when only the journal entry was this. And we sailed westward on our course today. Some days the crew turned on each other and they questioned the legitimacy of the mission. But on this day, he wrote again, we sailed westward. On. Some days the sea was calm. He wrote, some days the sea was peaceful, but he ended it in this way. And this day we sailed on. He wrote that some days the storms arose and we took on water on board, but on this day we did not stop. No, we sailed on. And so something possessed Christopher Columbus. Something, a vision of what could be. That sense of purpose, whatever it was, drove him on the face of adversity. Something inside of him drove him to continue going on in the face of boredom, in the face of difficulty, in the face of fighting among his own crew, in the face of disappointments, what they thought they saw land, come to find out that it was just more water. Something inside of him drove him to continue to sail on. At the end of each day, he summoned his journey up by saying, and this day we sailed on. In other words, he was saying that it wasn't easy, but we sailed on. We suffered setbacks, but we sailed on. We didn't get to where we wanted to go, but we sailed on. We took on water, but we sailed on. We got a little off course every now and then, but we sailed on. We chased after land that wasn't there, but you know what? It's okay. We didn't stop. We sailed on. At the end of the day, my question is, can you say, regardless of what I face today, regardless what circumstances I may have been through today, can you say the words that Christopher Columbus said, and on this day, I sailed on. On this day, I continue to persevere. You know, in our text this morning, I want you to see that Joseph has a mission for his brothers. I want you to see something here because the typology of the story of Joseph as it relates to the story of Jesus. It's a very rich story. Joseph, if you remember the story, Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, who was sacrificed to eventually save his family and the people from the famine, from destruction. But his father, Jacob, is a type of an unbelieving world who for years has heard rumors that his son is alive but has seen no proof. You know, it's kind of like the life of a Christian. Many people have heard for many years that Jesus is coming back again. But unfortunately, you've got more and more people beginning to drop out and beginning to not believe that. And you got less and less people that really believe that he's coming again. You've got people that go through life of discouragement, and they're thinking, he's never going to come back again. Come on, there can't be a thing of the rapture. That none of this stuff really exists the way that it says that it does. And so they drop out. But I want to encourage somebody today, regardless how you feel, regardless what kind of cards life is dealing you, listen, purpose in your mind, purpose in your heart, that I'm going to continue to sell on. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through this thing, and I've got a place called glory. I got a place called heaven that is my eternal home, and I am heading toward that area one of these days. Amen. So Joseph equips his brothers with gifts that are visible manifestations. He equips his brothers with changes of clothing that are visible changes in appearance. He equips his brothers with wagons loaded with food for a hungry world. But I find it interesting that when Joseph was given his brothers instruction for the journey, he did not feel compelled to tell them, be careful with the riches, be sure not to get your clothes dirty, be sure not to waste the food. The only thing that he said to them is when they go back to the father, he said these words, be sure that you fall not out by the way. In other words, be sure, don't get off course. Be sure, don't stop along the journey. Be sure, don't pull over to the side and get weary and get tired. Be sure to make it all the way back to the Father. Take care of the people. Tell Dad I'm okay. Let him know that everything is fine. Listen, the gifts and the clothing and the food and the wagons, it would be useless if the brothers got sidetracked and never made it to Canaan. It would be useless. So the gifts and the clothing and the food and the wagons could take care of themselves if the brothers just got them to the father, Jacob. Now understand with me this morning, the important part of the mission was that Joseph's brothers got to where they were supposed to go without getting sidetracked. I'm sure they encountered sandstorms along the way, but they pressed on. I'm sure they encountered resistance along the way, but they pressed on. I'm sure they got tired and wanted to settle down along the way, but saints of God, how many of you know this morning, they did not stop, they continued and pressed on. So I'm sure that they've looked at all that they had, and it was even a temptation for them to say, you know what, we should just pull over and make a new life for ourselves. We've got all the food, we've got all the clothing, we've got everything that we could survive with. Why are we continuing on in this journey? Why are we continuing on through the troubles that are coming our way? Why are we continuing on through the setbacks? We've got silver, we've got gold, we've got clothing, but listen here, what they did was they pressed on. I'm sure they probably fought like brothers do. I mean, brothers, you know what I'm talking about? They fought like brothers do, and they called each other names. They probably tripped up each other just out of being aggravated and tired and bored along the way. I'm sure they got into fights. I'm sure they called each other names along the way. I'm sure that they said, you know what, I hate you, and daddy likes me more than he likes you, and I'm my mama's favorite, on and on and on. I'm sure there were times that they got fighting mad at each other and wanted to say, you know what, y'all go ahead. I'm going to do my own thing and go my own way. But you know what I've learned in this story is they pressed on. Just like Christopher Columbus continued to sail on through adversities of life, these men continued to go on until they got back to where daddy was, until they can say, hey, your son is okay, and here's what he supplied us with during our famine. We're going to survive. We're going to be okay. Somehow they made it back to daddy, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 45, verse 27, and they told him the words of Joseph, which he had said to them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the Bible says that the spirit of Jacob, their father, was revived. It was revived inside, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You know, it was proof of Joseph's existence. The gifts, the change of clothing, the wagons that revived a weary, a tired, a worn out Jacob and brought him into a palace to live, to live as royalty. But hear me today, saints, that those gifts and wagons were transported by ordinary people who were determined. Think of that with me this morning. What made a difference in a whole community, in the lives and the hearts of so many people, was not what was who they were, but it was the fact that they were ordinary people that said, you know what, I've got a job to do. I've got a mission to do. I'm sure we're going to go through things, and sure we're going to go through troubles and setbacks, but you know what, we're going to press on. As Christopher Columbus said, and we sailed on. No matter what happens, I will not fall out by the way, is what they were determined in their heart. That no matter what comes against me, I will sail on. So what does this speak to us this morning? Well, I'll tell you this morning that God is looking for more than anything else in us is a commitment. And that God is looking for us inside of us a perseverance. To keep on keeping on. That God is looking for somebody that in these last days that are saying, you know what? The world is getting worse. Look at the trouble. Look at the trials. Look at the people. Look at the stupidity. And things that are taking place. God is searching in 2019 for somebody that says, God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw the towel in. I'm not going to get lazy. I'm going to persevere and go through the storms and go through the trials and go through the winds and go through the setbacks. Sure, life may knock the wind out of me and I take two steps up and I'm pushed six steps back, but it's okay. I'm going to continue on and persevere. If that's you this morning, put your hands together and let God know that I'm determined. I'm determined. The instruction for the church is the same instruction that Joseph gave his brothers in our text. The same instruction for you as a church, as the people of God, is the same instruction that Joseph gave his brothers, that I've given you gifts. I've given you changes of clothing. I've given you transportation. I've given you food to take back to a world that does not even believe that I am alive. And my only instruction is this: see that you fall not out by the way. See that you stay on course, regardless how you feel. I'm going to tell you, church, there's a world that is dying around us. Turn the news on, turn the media on just for a few seconds. And in no time, you just shake your head thinking, what in the world? What in the world? I fear of what our little ones that are over in kids' church right now worshiping God. I fear, I've got two of them over there. I fear what our world is going to be like if the Lord tarries. But I want to tell you what they got to have is they've got to have parents. They've got to have grown-ups. They've got to have mentors in their life that will show them that, you know what, you don't just give up and throw things out by the side. You don't just throw the towel in. You don't just quit church when you want to quit church. You don't just get mad at God and walk away. You persevere. You continue to move forward. And they've got to learn this. And they've got to see it from our lives. And they've got to see it from us. See that you will encounter persecution in life, saints. I tell my kids, life is not always butterflies and puppy dogs and rainbows. Sometimes life stinks. But even in those times, you sail on. You push through. See, we're raising a generation that says that you can quit any moment you want. Don't think that they're not going to take that same mentality the rest of the way in life and say, well, if I can quit this, if I started it, I can quit it. I can just give up. No, what they're going to do is take that mentality through life and say, it didn't go my way here. I don't like it here. I can quit this. I can move on. And it's going to be that way. We've got to train them today. You sell on. You will encounter problems, but you know what? Sail on. You will encounter criticism by your own brothers and sisters, church, but somebody help me this morning. You will encounter setbacks, but we've got to sail on. You will have days that are absolutely boring, but sail on. There'll be days that you go through that are terrifying. You ever had them? Some of the scariest days that are terrifying days. But I'm talking to somebody this morning trying to get up in your spirit to tell you this. Sell on. Don't quit. There will be days that you want to call it quits, but sell on. There'll be days that lonely days are ahead of you and you feel like nobody loves you and nobody's invited you. It's coming to your birthday party. You feel like you're all by yourself, but it's in those days, saints of God, that you've got to sail on. There'll be days of discouragement. There'll be days of frustration. There'll be days that nobody will understand what you're going through. There'll be days of pain. There'll be days of sickness. There'll be days that your prayers feel dead. There'll be days that your worship feels dry, but you've got to persevere and sail on regardless. Is this for anybody today? Don't give up, saints. Don't give up so easy. Don't just quit because it's life is not going your way. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and ye shall be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You ever entered your name in a drawing and you read these words, you must be present to win? Nobody likes that. Bill's giving a car away next week, and Gary, the Ford House, giving a car away in 2 weeks. Is that right? Yeah. I didn't, y'all, right? But you got to be present to win. I'm kidding about that. Take it off video. I'm kidding. You got to be present to win. Listen, that is the stipulation to receiving a crown of life. That is the stipulation to receiving. You've got to be present to win this crown of life. If you drop out somewhere and you quit God, listen, it's not for you. You don't get it. You don't win. You may come through that thing wore out, looking all rough and hair all messed up, makeup running and clothes ripped and just dragging yourself. However you come to the finish line of life, just make sure you get there. Make sure you get there. Paul, yeah, I love Paul. Paul went to the chopping block, not with a spotless record. Paul messed up. I know I'm in a congregation this morning that nobody's messed up. I understand that. I know I'm in a group of people that nobody in here has a background about them. I mean, nobody's got a record. I understand that, because you all glow in the dark when you walk in a room. Heaven opens up and sings your praises. I know I'm in a different place than that. You messed up. You've done some not so smart things in life. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you this morning. Paul went to the chopping block with a not so good record, with a record that he messed up. It wasn't a spotless record, not with a testimony of a man who never made a mistake. But his grateful refrain on the way to his graduation was this, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He said these words, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Who's he talking about? You. You. Of all those people that would say, you know what? In life, it stinks sometimes, it's tough sometimes, but you know what? I'm not going to bail out. I'm going to keep moving forward. Paul would say this if he was with us this morning. He would say, I've made mistakes, but I've sailed on. I've been beaten, but I sailed on. I've been lied on, but I sailed on. I've been attacked, but you know what? It didn't stop me. I sailed on. I've been persecuted, but you know what? I didn't throw the towel in. No, no, no. I sailed on. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been bitten, but you know what? It's okay. I continue to sail on. The time of my departure is at hand, and my testimony is this: I did not fall out by the way. I continue to press on. I continue to move forth. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But you know what? It's okay. For me, I sailed on. At my first answer, no man stood with me, Paul said, but it's okay. I sailed on. The temptation many times was to give up. And it would have been easy for me to give up. As a matter of fact, people were encouraging me to give up. If I would have given up, people would have understood around me. But you know what? He said, I finished the course. I did not fall out by the way. I sailed on. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 17, verse 9, the righteous also shall hold his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. God is looking for righteous people who will just hold their way. Our strength, saints of God, is gained by just holding our way and holding on and not letting go and moving forward. I want to tell you this morning that God is looking for people who will sail on, who will sail forward. God is looking for people this morning that will sail through perilous times. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this known also, that in the last days perilous times will come. Many will be turned away and proceed no further, but continue. Keep going. Sail on in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Knowing of them, thou hast learned them. Through perilous times, the word is saying, keep going. I want you to understand with me this morning, God is looking for people who will sail through tribulation. The scripture, the word of the Lord tells us in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So even in times of tribulation that you're going to go through, keep on sailing. Keep on walking. Keep on marching. Keep pressing forward. God is looking for some people in these last days that will march through and sail through obscurity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Others may not see your labor, but hear me today. God does. God sees it. Others may not be patting you on the back and saying, I see you marching. I see you going forward. I'm proud of you, and patting you on the back and say, keep on doing it. Others may not do that. They may not see the faithfulness, but God does. And God will reward you for being faithful. Saints, some days the only entry in our spiritual journal is this, and this day I sailed on. And this day I did not quit. Every day's different. Every day is going to have its new challenges. Every day is going to have its new setbacks in life. And at the end of the day, you've got to make your mind up and say, on this day, no, I sailed on. I didn't quit. We didn't see any fire fall from the sky. We didn't discover any new land. We didn't hear the shouts of praise from the onlookers. But you know what? We sailed on. And it's in those times that God is building character in us. It is in those times that God uses dullness to build perseverance in us. An old carnal analogy says this: anyone can dance while the band is playing, but no one wants to stay around and clean up afterwards. I want you to understand something this morning. God wants people who will be faithful in times of silence. See, preachers can preach when it's hooping and hollering, and I love it with the best of them. But can you preach when it's hush? Anybody can live right and live good and live faithful when everything's going right in their lives. But the moment things are getting rocky and the moment things life is getting hard and tough, can you still be faithful? Can you still persevere? Can you still move forward? My question this morning, is there anyone this morning who is just about ready? You've come in here today and you say, preacher, what an on-time word this is, because I am just about ready to throw in the towel. I'm just about ready to call it quits on an area of my life. I'm just about done.